important. He's talking back to the Galatians, to the Gentiles. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ye, talking about all ye Galatians, all you Gentiles. It's what the Apostle Paul was saying there. See, the legalizers, the Judaizers had come along and they had tried to convince the churches of Galatia, you know, you're not really saved unless you get circumcised. You're not really going to ever be perfect in the flesh unless you come back under the law. But here the Apostle Paul, he's saying the direct opposite of that. You Gentiles, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Nothing to do with the law. And he's been making that case all the way down through there. We've went over it in great detail. Ye are all the children of God by faith. Those of you who have been reverting back under the law, trying to go back under the law, trying to be saved by keeping the law, justified by keeping the law, he wants them to know that's not how you're the children of God. You're not the children of God by keeping the law. But ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's very important what he says there. And this word, when he says, or this phrase, the children of God, that's important. He said, ye are all the children of God. Now, the word children there, it does not mean children like we think about children go downstairs in Sunday school. The word used for children here means a son. It is used of those who are no longer minors, no longer little children, but adults. The word signifies someone of full age. Now, it doesn't harm anything that he used the word children there. My brother and I are the children of Robert, but we're both grown men. Just because we're children or somebody's child doesn't mean we're not adults. We're the sons. That word actually means sons. And so what the Apostle Paul here is saying, and you'll see the contrast as we go down through here, when he says you're the children of God, you are believers in Christ of full age. Now, what we see in chapter 3 and chapter number 4, the individual who is under the law is looked at as being a minor, a little child. Look back at verses 24 and 25. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, who do you think about when you think about being under a schoolmaster? Do you think about a full-grown man or woman? No. You think about somebody, we know that somebody under a schoolmaster is talking about a younger person. Somebody who is not a full age. Somebody who is still learning. They're still coming along. I don't think any of us adults would be considered as being under a schoolmaster. You know, you go back to school, but not like it's talking about here. Being tutored along like a little child. Look at chapter 4. He makes the same comparison again of being a minor, what we would say a minor, versus an adult. Chapter 4, verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. The Apostle Paul in chapter 3 and chapter number 4, he makes a comparison there that those that are under the law are like a minor, they're like a child. But under the grace of God, when we're saved by the grace of God, we are not under the grace of God as minors, but as adults in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we reckoned that? Well, the answer is in verse number 26. For you're all the children of God. You're all full grown in inheritors of what Christ has by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus, you're all the children of God. Now, look at verse number 27. And this is what I really wanted to take a few minutes tonight and try to explain so that we correctly understand this. Look what he says, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, as Baptist people, and probably most great majority here tonight, grew up probably Baptist people. When we hear baptize or baptism, what's the first thing you think about? Well, you think about water baptism. You think about after you get saved, you get baptized. What's scripture way to get baptized? You go down into the water and you are buried with him. You know, that's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, full immersion. That's what we think about when we think about baptism. And when I baptize people, that's one of the things I make sure. I get every little drop of them wet. You know, I don't leave a little forehead showing. I fully just make sure. Because that's what it means. It means to dip or to immerse. So we think of the word baptism as being water baptism. But every time you find the word baptism in the Bible is not referring to water baptism. And this is one of those places. This is not talking about water baptism. When he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is not talking about water baptism, because water baptism never places anyone in Christ Jesus. If water baptism placed you in Christ Jesus, then it would save us. But we're not saved by being baptized. We understand that tonight. That is not what it's talking about. The ordinance of baptism or water baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward work of grace. It is a word picture. It is us who have been saved testifying to the whole world, I have believed upon Christ. I believe the gospel. And here's what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our hearts. And so that is not what is being talked about here in verse 27 when it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, let's go to another place in the Bible where it's used in that context. Look in the book of Romans. So you go back in the book of Romans, chapter number 6. And I'm going to find it as well. Romans chapter number 6. We're going to look at two other places where the word baptism is used, but it's not talking about water baptism. Romans chapter number 6. Now we use, and I've used Romans chapter number 6 interchangeably. And I don't think it's harming anything as long as we recognize verse number 3, what it's talking about, and verse number 4, what it's talking about. And so Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 3. Well, let's just back up and read verse 1 so we get the full context here. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, we've heard that compared to our water baptism. What we're saying is we've been saved. We've been baptized. We should walk in newness of life. But verse number 3 is actually talking about when we're saved by the grace of God, we're put into Jesus Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Baptism is a picture of what Christ has done in our heart. Verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That is a picture of what the Lord has done for us. And there's a difference between a picture and a person. And I've used this to illustrate before. If I held up a picture and said, this is my wife, you might all look at that picture and recognize that that's Kim. But that's not actually Kim, it's just a picture. Kim is sitting right over there. There's a difference. Baptism is a picture, but it is not what saves us. What saves us is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the picture. There's a lot of people in this world, they're trying to get saved by trusting in the picture and not the person. The person saves us. Baptism is a picture. And that is what the Bible has to say about it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, when it's talking about baptism over there, it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. The Bible says over there, it's a figure. It's a like figure. It's a picture. The picture doesn't save us. The person saves us. Baptism pictures what the Lord Jesus has done for us. That's why it's so important that we understand that. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're going back the other direction, back towards Galatians, Romans, 1 Corinthians is next. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. This is a very clear verse or two. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. The Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that baptizes, or what the word means, puts us into the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God baptizes us into the Lord Jesus Christ. When does he do that? He does that at the moment of faith. When we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God puts us into the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what happens. It is at the moment of faith, and that is what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so at faith we are put into the Lord Jesus Christ. We are baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of religions out here, a lot of denominations out here, they talk about salvation or being saved, and then they talk about other things that happen after that. You know, they'll say, well, you get saved, and then later on you receive the Holy Ghost. And then later on you get this, and later on you get that. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches when we get saved, we are put into Christ. You cannot be more into Christ than into Christ. When you get saved all the way. Now, getting saved all the way, and that's not a scriptural way of putting it, I don't think, but you get all of Jesus that you're ever going to get. And after that, he is working on getting more of you. The disciples experienced that. Not my will, but thine be done. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. The Lord Jesus was trying to get more and more of Peter and get Peter to totally surrender unto him. But the Bible teaches that we are put into Christ. If we have been put into Christ, we have put on Christ. And you go back. Now, I left verse number 26, but I want to go back to that when he says, for you are all the children of God, children of full age. You know, you didn't get your inheritance till you were of full age. But as the children of God, we are full inheritors of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're all the children of God. You're all adult, fully responsible. Your inheritance is full in the Lord Jesus Christ. How did we get that? By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. We have been put into Christ in verse 27. We have put on Christ in verse number 27. Now, there's lots of room to grow. After you get saved, there's lots of room to learn. We're not saying that you become a fully mature Christian and you never grow and you never learn. Why, I'm still growing and learning, and so are you. There's lots of room to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I stand here today as a full-grown child of God, an heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do you, if you're saved by the grace of God. And that's what he's saying in verse number 28. For there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, he's not saying we don't have any distinctions, because we do. That doesn't mean there's no such thing anymore as Jews and Greeks. There are. Some people are Jews, some people are Gentiles. That's not what it's saying. Some people are bond, some people are free. That's not what it's saying. We're either male or female. There's no debating about that. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying, in the Lord Jesus Christ, your position, your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, just because a person is a Jew, doesn't mean they have a little more of Jesus than the Gentile. See, the Jews were teaching that. Well, we're a little closer. We're in the line of Abraham and all, you know, you Gentiles, you need to. But Paul is saying, no, the Jew has no more of Jesus than the Gentile. The saved Jew than the saved Gentile. They're in Christ. You're not recognized as Jew or Gentile. The person who is free does not have a little more than the person who is in bondage. The male does not have a little more of Jesus than the female. In our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all the same. That's what he's saying in verse 28. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, religion, by contrast, never teaches that. Religion without salvation, I'm talking about man-made works religion, always divvies up how much everybody gets of God. Religion says the priest, the pope, the friar, the monk, the bishop has a little more. They're a little closer to God. In fact, if you want to get right with God, you got to go to them. That's what religion teaches. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that we are all a priesthood. 1 Peter. All of our prayers matter. The preacher cannot necessarily pray, get any closer to God than you can. If he can have his prayers answered and has greater faith, it's because of his walk with God, not his position as a preacher. I'll tell you, there's a lot of laymen I would go to before a lot of preachers that I know. Religion always teaches, you know, well, there's a hierarchy. This one is closer to God. This one has more favor with God because of their works, or because of their, you know, status in society, or because of their good works. And religion always says this one has more power than this one, and this one's prayers are answered, and this one has greater favor with God. But salvation does not teach that. Isn't that a blessing? To get to God, you don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go through some man. You, as a saved child of God, can go directly to the throne of God because of the grace of God. We're invited to come boldly under the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You don't have to go get somebody to help you get there either. That's a blessing. That's what Paul was teaching these Galatians who had got in their mind, you know, we got to go back under the law. We got to go a certain way. And Paul is saying, in Christ, there's no such thing. You're not a Jew. You're not a Gentile. You're not a male or female. Bond, free, all of those things. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're all the way in. You can't get any more in than in. Can you get more in the building tonight than you're already in? No. No matter where you are in the building, you're in the building. We might could get in the center of the building, but sitting back there at the back is just the same as in as me. And Paul is saying we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter what your position in the church might be. It doesn't matter what your color or your nationality or your anything else. If you're in Christ, you're in. And that is a great, great blessing. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse number 29. Look what he says there. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, it's not saying if with question mark, but if, like we say, since you are. This is how it is. He's saying it. If this is the condition that you're in, being in Christ, if ye be Christ, if you're saved, you are, that's what he's saying, if you're saved, you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If ye be Christ, if you're saved, then are ye Abraham's seed. See what he's saying? If ye, then this is what you are. If you're saved, if you're in Christ, then this is what you are. This is what you have. Then are ye Abraham's seed. Ye, again, using that second person there. If ye, you Gentiles, you Galatians, you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. He's not just talking about we that are Jews. He's talking about you that are Gentiles. Ye are Abraham's seed. Now, to the Judaizers and to the ones that's trying to get him back under the law and to the Jews in general, that was a blow. That was a blow to them for the Gentile to be able to say, we're Abraham's seed also. Because to the Jewish, that was their claim to fame. You know, then that's what they said. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are of Abraham. Abraham is our father. We lay claim to Abraham. But Paul comes along and said, well, you Gentiles, you're Abraham's seed too. That'd be a blow to the Jewish mindset. But he's saying, you are Abraham's seed. Paul said, ye. Notice that. I think I pointed that out. He said, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs. Heirs have full rights and responsibilities. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're not a heir. You're not a minor in this thing. You're an adult. And being heirs, do you know when you inherit something? You say, boy, what'd I get? Well, you get something. Praise the Lord for that. But do you know what? You have rights. You inherit something, you have a right to something, do you not? You go and you find out you inherited this, you have a right to this now. But guess what you also have? You have responsibilities. With whatever you inherit comes responsibility. Now, what are you going to do with it? See, we're recognized as adult children of God. Yes, we inherited, and it's wonderful. And it's ours. We have a right to it. Praise the Lord. But guess what? Got responsibilities as well. What are you doing with your salvation? You're saved. You're an heir of Christ, a joint heir of Christ. That's what the Bible says. What do we do? What are we doing with our responsibilities that we have? So we're heirs according to the promise. Now we've talked and talked about this promise. We're heirs according to the promise. And the promise to Abraham was, God said, this is what I want you to do. And the Bible said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So what that's saying, your heirs according to the promise, that means we're all saved the same way. How was Abraham saved? Now, as I read my Bible, I have to believe that Abraham was saved because he believed what God said. And I believe the New Testament teaches the same thing about us. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to believe what God says. We're saved the same way that Abraham was saved. How was Abraham saved? How are we saved? Let me just quickly point something out to you here in a few verses in Galatians chapter number 3. Go back to verse number 22. Notice how many times faith is mentioned. Faith, 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 over and over and over again. Verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So you got by faith and believe. It's talking about the same thing. Faith is believing. Look at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Their faith is mentioned twice in verse number 23. Look at verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. This thing of faith just keeps coming up over and over and over again. Verse number 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And faith, faith, faith. We make a big deal about faith. I think if you came in and you didn't know any difference from a Catholic to a Methodist to a Presbyterian to a Baptist to if you just didn't know, I think you'd get the idea that we made a big deal about faith. Think about it. We talk way more about faith than we do about baptism. Most Baptists talk more about baptism than they do about faith. You ever notice that? Because to get into there, I'm talking about the works-based religions out there, one of the things you got to do, hey, you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized. You little kids about to turn 12 years old. You need to take a class. You need to be baptized. They talk more. And others that are out there, there's some of them, they talk about being baptized every day. You ever heard them on the radio? If you've heard one radio broadcast 25 years ago, you've heard the same one. You've heard them all talk about the same thing, about five verses in the Bible. Got to be baptized, you got to be baptized. They're not Baptists, but they're talking way more about baptism than we are. We talk about baptism. Baptism is important, but without faith, and you get baptized, all you got was wet. Didn't do a thing for you. We make a big deal about faith because the Bible makes a big deal about faith because that's how you're saved, is by faith. That young man that came in last night, he asked the question, you know, sort of seemed like he's confused somewhat about how do you be saved or what's the gospel. Well, I'll tell you this, you got to believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the scripture for you. That's what it says over there. It's not just the mental fact that Jesus came and he died and he was buried and he rose the third day, but he died for you and he died for me because we're sinners. We got to put our faith in that. We've got to believe in that with all of our heart. If that was the ship to get to heaven, I got to get all the way into that. I got to rest my eternal soul on nothing that I've ever done, but everything that Jesus has done. Got to believe with all of my heart by faith. Salvation is by faith. That is what Paul is drilling into their heads. Say, preacher, you've been drilling that into our heads. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people that grew up in Baptist churches that are messed up. And I believe one of the reasons the truths of God's word was never drilled into their heads. Paul is drilling it into their heads. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's not by keeping the law. You got to understand that if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, guess what? Chapter 4, he's going to drill a little deeper. He's going to hit the same thing, and he's going to go over it in a different way that they might understand what he is talking about. Now, you're not saved by understanding. You can't understand until the Spirit of God turns the spiritual light on. But the Spirit of God can't turn the spiritual light on until you've heard the truth. The truth, the truth, the truth. I'm glad I heard the truth when I was growing up. And one day, you know what? God turned the light on. I'd heard the truth, and I knew that Jesus died for me. I knew that I was in trouble. I knew that I was lost and that I needed to be saved. The truth will set you free. That's what the Bible says. So, chapter number 3. I appreciate your good attention. I hope that's helpful to us tonight. And then, Lord willing, next week, next time we'll get into chapter number 4. And it's a great chapter.